And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 10 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dew with you. What's going on, Pete? How are you, buddy?
Doing well, Nick. Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And Anna, it was more injuries, more injury returns over the weekend. I know I breathe a sigh of relief as Rasmus Dahlin came back from injury for Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo really got a lifeline with getting some of their big boys back into the lineup as of late. So maybe they turn things around and finally Nick can stop calling them frauds, but I don't know.
Spoiler, they're not going to turn things around. And I think the theme of this podcast is going to be injuries, as you eloquently put off the top here, Pete, because they're mounting up. Kyle Connor goes down for Winnipeg on Sunday, so we're going to talk about some injury replacements there. But let's start waiver wire list, NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out this entire list. But the San Jose Sharks, Pete, we got to start with them. We got to give them some love this week.
Oh, my God.
That has been the one team that has been a thorn in San Jose's side for, like, 4 or 5 years is Vegas, and they even took them to the brink the other day on Sunday. So, you know, that was, I think previously they were outscored 9-1 in their two losses to Vegas this season. So, you know, betting wise, fantasy wise, there's always hidden value in this team. We've talked about Zetterlin, we've talked about Hurdle, we've talked about Addison on the power play, and we've talked about certainly Mikhail Granlin, who has been one of the hottest players in the whole league, Anna, over the past 2 weeks.
San Jose in every game gets production from pretty much this entire team. William Eklund, another name that wasn't mentioned, who's been doing pretty well for the Sharks. Kyle Burrows randomly has like 3 points in his past 4 games as well. So they have zero pressure on them, and they go into every game looking to have a good time. And a lot of these guys are having a good time right now.
Hey, this is something that'll make producer Bob happy. This team's covering the spread, Bobby. That is the way to bet right now, is the San Jose Sharks reverse puck line, okay?
I get it. Listen, what they're doing, incredible. I really didn't think we were going to be leading the show off with the San Jose Sharks again, but Pete Jensen, of course, we know he overrules all. He wants to talk Sharks, we talk Sharks. That's
what
happens.
To be honest, I teed him up, but the two names we're looking at on the list, Thomas Hertl, Michael Granlund's been great, and many wondering, I think it's just me, if San Jose may have in fact won the Erik Karlsson trade. But that's a big time thing. If you're looking for value right now on the waiver wire, the San Jose Sharks are a place I would go. And another place is the Vegas Golden Knights, who have been pretty consistent for the majority of the early season. But Ivan Barbashev back in the periphery, more so because he plays a Jack Eichel and Mark Stone, right?
Very much so. Vegas is a team that I feel like I'm guilty of also overlooking, because I just thought that, you know, they won the Stanley Cup. They're that franchise where they have these pieces that perform all the time, but in a way they're just not exciting for me to watch. They don't have any of those big guys. Sure, Jack Eichel added a lot to this roster, but now I'm seeing that despite everything that happens in Vegas, they're like a little pest that just sticks around that you can't get rid of no matter how hard you try, and they're competitive year after year. They're Stanley Cup contenders year after year, and Barbashev's been doing really well. That lineup placement is just insane. So it's a no-brainer to pick him up for me this week.
And Nick, those are even better line mates than he had last postseason, when it was Marchessault and Eichel on his side. And now Stone is on the same line as Eichel and Barbashev, 6 points in his past 6 games with some hits coverage to boot. So a really nice pickup now after a really dreadful start to the season for Barbashev.
Yeah, that's what our mutual friend Boomer Gordon would call a garden seat. I think when a player is in that position, you have to pick them up. That's extreme value, and I'm with you on the Vegas front. I know they've been up and down a bit as of late, but I think when you look at that positioning for Barbashev, it's a no-brainer. We're going to tie in the next player, Pete, to obviously the Boone Jenner news of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I know the other day they had Justin Danforth centering their top line, but Boone Jenner goes down. He's going to be out for a longer period of time. Adam Fantilli, Pete, back on the list. And conventional wisdom, I know I just mentioned Danforth's name, it's got to be Fantilli who's centering that first line. I think the theme around the league right now is like people want to spread the wealth, but this guy by far is their best center, and he's a rookie.
Right, and he's up to second, tied for second with Rossi and Luke Hughes in points among rookies behind Connor Bedard. So climbing the ladder here and there, despite playing a middle six role, but you look for that expanded role here, Anna. And then also there's that other sneaky line that I like a little bit, right? Who is it? Marchenko. Hinakov and also Dmitry Voronkov. Voronkov is this guy that I guess was going to go back to Russia. He didn't really like being overseas, didn't like being away from home. The Blue Jackets fans, I guess, warmed up to him and, you know, really embraced him. And all of a sudden, the guy's got 15 points in 24 games, and he's a center as well that could step up.
Another edition of Welcome to the NHL by Pete Jensen, introducing you to players that you have never heard of before. But as soon as Pete mentions them, they kind of pop off the next week, so remember that one. But yeah, this one hurts because I feel like I've been one of the biggest Boone Jenner defenders in fantasy ever. Yeah. I just think that he's a player that always provides, has shots, has hot streaks like no one else, and it's just tough to see him go down for that period of time. Does give Adam Fantilli a lot of opportunity. He's been red hot as of late too. Like, you got to give him credit the way he's played in his last four games. He has 3 goals, 5 points in that span, so he's showcasing that he can play good hockey at the NHL level, and this is going to be the best opportunity he has to really rack up those points.
Producer Bob, can I have a Coyotes howl, please? Thank you. We got 2 Coyotes on the list this week. It reminds me of my days covering the Sudbury Wolves in the OHL. But Michael Carconi, the mob boss, we're going to call him, man. He reminds me of Michael Bunting, Pete, a couple years ago, where every game this guy scores. I've had a lot of success streaming him on a daily basis. Carconi's on the list. Jason Zucker as well. Like, Arizona in general, they are live. They are very live to make the playoffs. As you guys had sort of referenced to start the season, and Pete, we're looking at 2 different looks there right now.
Yeah, they're doing a lot in their top 9 forward group. I know we mentioned it the last show, but even since then, like, giving Matt Dumba a look at wing is interesting. Keep an eye on that. He's been a defenseman his whole career, so an interesting wrinkle there. We know about Bukestad and Kerfoot and a lot of these guys that have just totally been diamonds in the rough that have returned a lot of value here. And Jason Zucker actually got bumped up to the top line with Nick Schmaltz and Clayton Keller. So that's a really good landing spot. You could talk all you want about third liners. A lot of the time, they don't really pan out at the end of the day. They'll fall back down to earth. But if Zucker's up top, I like his chances there.
Andre T had a chance to climb up the coach's ranks right past Greg Cronin, except he did not want to join Darren Millard's podcast. We had Clayton Keller instead. So Andre T, although we're all rooting for you to be in the Jack Adams mix for many, many, many reasons, you know, when you deny my interview request, when I want to talk to Andre T, that keeps you down the list, and Greg Cronin still above him, even though Cronin's group has struggled a little bit, Anna.
As interesting as Bob's personal feuds are, they don't impact my opinion whatsoever. I still love the Yotes. Just for the record, guys, I've been on the Coyotes bandwagon, or not even a bandwagon because it wasn't a bandwagon, wagon straight up since the preseason, and everyone made fun of me for saying that they were going to make the postseason, but they're the one team that has not let me down, and when I look at their top 6 forward group, Nick, like, there's a lot of these guys that you could still pick up in some leagues, and they look pretty decent to me, like Clayton Keller, Nick Schmaltz, Zucker on that top line with them, Michelli, Bukestad, Lawson Krause. Like, that's a decent amount of guys that have been playing really, really well as of late. And you're seeing, like, Logan Cooley fall to their bottom 6, and we haven't even seen his full potential yet.
Well, if I remember correctly, over the summer, I think I was the first one to mention the possibility of playoff games at Mullet Arena. And I told everybody, you know, the league should get ready for this. Build a couple extra bleachers in there up towards the ceiling, because it's going to happen this year. So,
guys, we're going to have to rewind the podcast. We're going to have to rewind and see who said it first.
Yeah, I'm I'm not going to comment on the...
Nick's not a believer.
No, yeah, it's not that. I just, never mind. No.
Nick seems like he would love Mullet Arena, though.
Oh, I got to go there for sure. And I'm hyped about them in fantasy hockey, and we'll leave it at that. Let's get to the crease, guys. We're going to tie this into Joseph Woll. So Joseph Woll goes down for the Maple Leafs. High ankle sprain week to week. Internal replacement, obviously, Ilya Samsonov, Martin Jones. I think if you're looking to play some DFS and you get a spot start, which could happen this week, by the way, a back-to-back for the Maple Leafs, Islanders, and the Rangers. Externally, Charlie Lindgren's on your list this week. Devin Levi is catching fire again, Anna. Sam Montembeau on the list as well this week.
Charlie Lindgren's the name that's, like, sticking out to me right now, because he's pretty much the only reason Washington is doing as well as they have as of late. Like, at the start of the year, they were literally abysmal. Like, watching the Washington Capitals, I thought there was a chance that they were going to be one of the last teams in the league the way they were playing. And then Charlie Lindgren comes in and he's playing ridiculous hockey. He had an amazing shutout against the New York Rangers. That's a really big win for the Washington Capitals in a divisional matchup. And he's just been like the rock that's been carrying this team, because their offense and defense and the rest of the squad just hasn't been remarkable at all this year.
I mean, what a rough weekend for Toronto, right? Swing and a miss on Shohei Ohtani, and then also Joseph Wall goes down, and all of a sudden you see good old friend of the show Martin Jones in the crease. But no, Sammy stepped up, and I'm really, when we talk about Samsonov's ceiling, he's been a fickle player in his career, but I would really hope that this sets the fire here, and in his 1 year contract year, Nick, this guy's really got to step up. Otherwise, ship out next year, right?
Yeah, he's showcasing for other teams. I don't think the Leafs are going to re-sign him. I think they're done with this episode. But I think you're right. I think people are sort of sleeping on the fact that Ilya Samsonov is coming off a really good year. It can actually play goalie in the NHL. I know people are sort of worried and concerned about the Leafs, but I don't really see it that way. Like, every team sort of rallies around injuries, and I think you have to step up if you're Ilya Samsonov and the Maple Leafs in general. Defensively, and that's the problem this time of year too, is like it's harder to find goaltenders in fantasy hockey. You almost have to spot start. Like, Connor Ingram's a guy, he's even past 70% utilized. Like, even Devin Levi, I saw he's like a guy to watch on your list this week. He's another guy who's got the potential. We've talked about him a lot, Pete, this year, but it seems like he's back from the AHL and feeling a bit better here.
Yeah, I was texting with you guys the other day, right? Like, the Sabres are the most maddening team that I can remember, because you think they're dead, and then they go into Boston, and Devin Levi has a nice little game there in his return from the AHL. So I can't make sense of this team no matter how hard I try, no matter how many games I watch, but you certainly can't count them out any given game at the very least.
That's just Buffalo sports, Pete. That's just welcome to Buffalo sports. When you think they're down and out, they give you one lifeline to like reel you back in for the rest of the year, and then you have a little bit of hope. Then they cut you off. It's a very toxic relationship that I have with the city of Buffalo, I'll tell you that.
All I know is that they have fantastic wings in Buffalo, and I love that. Pete, we're going to wrap our waiver wire looks with Mike Riley. I mean, you look at Lou Lamoriello. If there's somebody who can extract value on the real life waiver wire, it's probably this guy.
That was a good pickup off waivers from the Florida Panthers. He's playing on the second power play with Anders Lee. The first power play is working it a little bit with Dobson as one of the best defensemen of the whole season this year. And the Islanders, if you take away some of their blown leads this year, Anna, they've actually been one of the best teams in the whole NHL, and they can score. This is the best goal-scoring Islanders team since the last year they had Tavares, when they were playing that crazy no-defense style. I mean, their offense really went down near the bottom of the league in the power play for a few years, but they could score with the best of them this season, and a nice comeback win against the Kings the other day.
Yeah, the Isles are kind of sneaky. Just a little update for the Metropolitan Division ranks for our listeners now. This just blows me away week after week. New York well and ahead with 39 points so far. Philadelphia at 32. Then we have the Washington Capitals and the New York Islanders tied at 31. So Isles are sneaking up. Jersey's finally getting into the mix with 29. And Carolina falls to sixth. Sixth, and then it's Pittsburgh and Columbus. I don't really know what's going on in the Metro this year, but the Islanders are taking advantage of it.
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm close to using the F word with the New Jersey Devils, and it's not the F word you're thinking about. It's the word frauds, because I don't know what's going on with that team. Delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Speaking of the Devils, Robert writes in. Anna, we'll go to you first. What is going on with Timo Meier?
We had this concern when Timo Meier came over to the Devils. Pete and I mentioned this on the podcast numerous times. Nick always says there's only one puck to go around in the ice, and you're seeing that right now. I mean, Jack Hughes is a superstar. He can control the entire game himself. I'm seeing Nico Hischier look more like himself right now, too. He's a big piece. Dawson Mercer kind of was getting his groove back a little bit. Tyler Toffoli, whenever he plays with Jack Hughes, looks good. Jesper Bratt is one of the most underrated players on this Devils squad. I feel like no one ever mentions him. And, like, look at how many guys I just listed. Like, where is the opportunity for Timo Meier to get into the mix with all of those pieces in that lineup?
Right, and he has dealt with some injuries dating back to the postseason last year. So, like, new team, low shooting percentage ever since coming over, plus a couple of injury concerns. You don't know what he's playing through. But it is a concern for fantasy-wise. The category coverage is there, but we just have not seen anything like the 40-goal scorer of Timo Meier from the Sharks' days.
It's a theme I also see that I actually build upon in fantasy hockey, too. When people sign new deals, sometimes they have off years the year after they sign the deal. Like, I know he signed it, like, midway through or whatever it is, and it seems to be going that way, because I think you have to humanize the situation sometimes. And no doubt pressure is a part of daily life as a pro athlete. I mean, I'm not giving this guy a pass by any stretch, but it seems to happen a lot in this league, and he was actually a guy identified as a fade for the season. I'll probably bounce back next year on a guy like Timo Meier. Let's talk now with some guys who were center eligible and some of the injuries, right? Pavel Zacha goes down for the Boston Bruins. That means maybe a bigger role for Matt Patra, again, the rookie, and Charlie Coyle. We talked about Boone Jenner, Justin Danforth, Adam Fantilli could be elevated in that lineup. Some other looks, Pete, that would look at Mikael Granlund, as we mentioned, William Eklund, a little banged up here for San Jose, Blake Coleman, Sean Monahan. I think luckily in fantasy hockey, there is some depth to go around up the middle, isn't there?
Right, and a lot of people are probably looking to replace Dylan Larkin, too. That was a scary situation. Hopefully he'll be back sometime soon. But if Detroit is, you know, having some of their defensive lapses and offensive regression, even after adding Patrick Kane, I mean, the other day he said it all, right? He scored a goal, but they got blitzed in that game. So
by Ottawa.
It's concerning. Their staying power is certainly concerning if Dylan Larkin's going to miss any period of time, Anna.
Yeah, that was a really scary situation, so I hope he's doing all well. I saw that all his tests came back negative, which is good news to hear, but they don't necessarily know how long he's going to be out of the lineup. And the Detroit Red Wings are one of those teams that have certainly overperformed to kick off the year, so you wonder when that regression's going to hit, especially when other teams start heating up that have underperformed.
With Larkin out, Robbie Fabry's a guy I would look at, I would identify. Joe Valeno, I know last week came on the podcast, pumped up about Patrick Kane's debut. We're like, JT Confer, and then he doesn't play in that game. So Joe Valeno is another look for the Detroit Red Wings. Some injuries on the back end to monitor too, Pete. Charlie McAvoy's banged up for Boston. Victor Hedman, I think, didn't play the second half of that game for Tampa and Seattle the other night. So internally, Hampus Lindholm, Matt Grizzlick, Mikhail Sergachev would get elevated in that lineup. External options, this is where it gets a bit dicey. I think you have to, you know, plug and play with it when it comes to defensemen. But Torrey Krug, Thomas Harley, Cam York, Mike Riley, as we referenced with the New York Islanders, and Matthias Ekholm. You like any of those guys, Pete?
I like Ekholm a lot. The Oilers are playing really well now. They're kind of dismissed that horrible start to the season, and they're just going to continue to climb the NHL standings every single month, and they'll probably be up there fairly high among the top 6 to 10 teams, at least, maybe even higher than that when it's all said and done this season. So I like the pickup for Ekholm. One other note on Riley, we do this fantasy team of the past week. It's usually some pretty big names on there, but speaking to how thin the defenseman position is over the past week, Mike Riley is actually on there because the 3-game point streak, nice category coverage of shots on goal and hits. Yeah. Again, it's a diminished role, but he only joined the team like, 6 or 7 games ago. So give him a little slack there. He's been impressive.
And Anna, from a DFS standpoint, we love that, right? I mean, if you're looking for value, Mike Riley's the guy who's going to add that right now, no?
Absolutely. He's a player to monitor on like a single game, single day slate if you're looking at it, just because the Islanders too, guys, they've beat some tough opponents and I don't think we can sweep that under the rug. Like they've looked good against some solid teams. And when you're riding that momentum, then that's a player I'm absolutely looking on a daily basis to capitalize off of until he like stops being hot. But you never know. Like the Islanders have a lot of open, I guess, like area to figure out what they're going to look like as a team this year because they don't really have as much pressure as some of these other teams do either. So maybe they're the sneaky surprise this year.
Nick, from a team that's hot to a team that's certainly not, the Seattle Kraken have been in a bit of fantasy this year. Grubauer banged up. Jaden Schwartz is out for another 4 or 5 weeks. Burakovsky came back from injury, hadn't played in forever, and gets injured again and is out again. I mean, Matty Beniers has been a disappointment. Are you out on the Seattle Kraken to make the playoffs? Or if you still think they have a glimmer there, are you just not touching them in fantasy much anymore?
Yeah, I would say they're a team that I'm probably staying away from outside of McCann, outside of Vince Dunn. To me, the biggest story has been the goaltending. Like, you put your neck out, you go out and get Philip Grubauer. He's been a disaster for that team. Like, you look at the track record, I get why they did it. Last year was a phenomenal season, but I think considering everything that's happening around them, Anna, in the standings, I just don't feel good about the prospects of Seattle being back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They can't score. They can't defend. Last time I checked, that's a very, very tough recipe, and now they're on this big losing streak. They're in trouble. They're in some big-time trouble. And fantasy-wise, I wouldn't go to the depths of the Seattle Kraken right now for sure.
Seattle is not Vegas, and I feel like after last season a lot of people thought that they could be Vegas, whereas Vegas really like fleeced some of the teams with the players that they picked up and they turn into some consistent pieces for that squad, and Seattle just really has not done the same. And there are big concerns on this team outside of literally like one or two guys that maybe you want to keep an eye on. And you can't build a successful roster off of just one or two players. And we're seeing that right now. And I feel like people just get caught up with the excitement of an expansion team after everything that Vegas has done. But that is not the Seattle Kraken at all.
I wonder if it's a bit of a sophomore slump too for Matty Beniers, right? Like I think sometimes, and we're seeing with Adam Fantilli right now in Columbus, I think just too much is asked of like top six players and rookies right away, especially centers like that. That's a tough position to play in the National League at the best of times. And you're being asked to be the 1C in Matty Beniers' case with Seattle. I think it's a recipe for disaster. And even when you have like a Shane Wright who's having a really good season in the AHL, they just don't have the depth to compete with that, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for some of these guys that have, you know, Cooley has struggled in the goal department, yeah. The rookie landscape overall, Anna, and I know we're talking about Beniers, but let's trace it back to rookies for this season. I mean, remember a month or so ago, there were like 10 rookies in our top 200. Now there's like three or four. Joseph Wall just got injured. Ridley Gregg came back from injury. I guess that's one guy that maybe you would consider picking up because Ottawa's offense is so damn good right now, but I mean, it's pretty thin right now. Minchikov has fallen off a little bit.
Sure.
There are not that many rookies that are relevant right now.
There's one.
At least one.
Bob knows him.
Would you like to chime in, Bob, on the most
near
relevant
a point
rookie
per game,
right now?
Connor Bedard.
I mean, Nick keeps saying, like, I knew Bedard was going
to
be.
You're on your way to defeat.
Here's the point, though. 69.5 under.
68.5. You made up a new number like 2 weeks into the season. But anyways.
Go back and listen to the tapes. We talked about 69.5. But okay. Even if it's 68.5, I'm telling you right now, under. I mean, we can't have this conversation every time Connor Bedard's name comes up because it's ridiculous. We just have to sit back and wait. I don't care about the pace he's on now. I care about at the end of the season, the last day of the season, how many points does he have, Anna? That's the wager.
Bob's getting a little defensive. Bob's getting a little scared.
He knows
quaking.
He's in trouble. Hot under the collar here.
Quaking trouble. In his little boots.
The one thing I am going to be wrong on is he is going to win the Calder Trophy. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah.
I am wrong about that. That's okay. I will admit
barring
that 12-11.
Injury,
barring injury, I will admit that 12-11, 23 right now. But the over-under on the points, I'm still sticking with the under.
Biggest proclamation in the history of this podcast, Bob Bender suggests that Connor Bedard is going to win the Calder Trophy this season. Producer Bob also writes this question in, delivered by Skip. Is Max Pacioretty a scoop and stash option, Pete? We did see the latest from Tom Gallitti, who works for NHL.com, of course, the last couple days, that Pacioretty is skating at least 2 weeks away, but this is a guy who could see some legit exposure there in the top six. I know he's coming off two Achilles injuries, not one, but two. But this guy's got the pedigree, Pete.
I'd probably be more likely to scoop and stash Jack Quinn, who's coming off a similar type deal, but of course only one of those, not two,
and
a much younger player, a breakout candidate whenever he comes back for Buffalo. So, but yeah, Pacioretty has always had pretty good category coverage, and the Capitals have, you know, widely exceeded my expectations.
Weird.
So you got to at least think about it right now. And that's the fun thing about like around Christmas time and after, you always see a lot of injury returns after that 3-day holiday break and stuff like that.
But exposure to who? Like Charlie Lindgren? Like who else is he being exposed to? Dylan Strome? Like
I don't know.
Alex Ovechkin has five goals on the year. Like what? Like where is like any help going to come for Max Pacioretty? I was high on him on the Carolina Hurricanes and obviously had the injury issues that he had in that team. And I feel like at this point, it's just like this squad has exceeded their expectations. They've looked the best they have. And I do not think they're going to maintain it going forward.
Well, that's just it. I just think people are going to sleep on Washington. And I think you make a fair point. Especially with a Backstrom in the lineup, like who's centering this guy? Maybe it's Dylan Strome. I think PP1 you're going to get. I think it would actually help Washington's power play. I know Ovechkin's struggling, but to have another shot on the other side as a potential sort of look-off to Ovechkin, I think would help that power play. But certainly, I think that's a story we're monitoring over the next couple months is like the Capitals, Pete. Like it's been an up-and-down start, but like I could never have envisioned that Alex Ovechkin would have five goals in 24 games, on pace for 17, but this team would be above 500 and flirting with a playoff spot. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's you got to separate yourself from the years and years and career-long dominance and stuff like that. He's not doing much for you right now, so you hope for that turnaround with the high shot volume, but not that much around him. So maybe you start to just look at that team a little bit differently. One other fan question I saw, and it's kind of on a similar topic of how do you view a contending team, perennial contender like the Lightning that has their star power, and should you pick up Anthony Cirelli, their number two center right now, who is heating up, by the way. Yeah. But it's just been a player through the years that's either banged up or, you know, playing a good two-way game, but not always like hitting the score sheet that often. It's a player I'm not calling a slam dunk right now, but wanted to hear your thoughts, guys.
I would call him a poor man's Patrice Bergeron. That's probably the best way I would describe Anthony Cirelli. Exceptional player, but he's not Patrice Bergeron. And that's not a slight. This guy's a multi-Stanley Cup winner. I just think from a fantasy standpoint, you pick him up, Anna, when he's hot. But other than that, he's not going to be on my roster. There's a reason why he's under 5% utilized right now.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Lightning are ridiculously top heavy, and I think that that's something we need to like emphasize right now. Their top line is phenomenal and can compete against some of the best teams in the entire league, and then it kind of falls off after that. And Anthony Cirelli, he's really hot right now. He's a player I'm looking at DFS or just in terms of props or something like that. But outside of that, season long, to pick him up for more than a little period of time, I just can't get on that bandwagon right now.
What's going on with Jonas Johansson, Pete, your boy? He's turned into a pumpkin. I know he's getting some tough starts now because Bassey's back, but he's getting lit up. Like, it's tough. It's tough. I hope people sold high on this guy. Another guy, by the way, just to tie it in, Frank Vetrano is another guy I would sell high on right now. He's starting to really get those goose eggs going.
The Ducks were bound to fall off at some point, and some losing ways over the past month of the season have done that. They still have a bright future in this league, but,
sure.
You know, Zegras still out. There's just a lot... That's a big hill to climb to keep what they were doing up for more than a month and month and a half, you know.
Fair enough. Let's get to the schedule. We'll get out of here. A 51-game slate this week. Got 4 on Monday, 10 Tuesday, 5 Wednesday, 8 on Thursday, 6 Friday, 13 on Saturday, and 5 on Sunday. The 4-game teams to look at in the waiver wire: Arizona, Buffalo, Calgary, Carolina, Colorado, Detroit, the Islanders, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver. That's 10 teams. And the 2-game slates: Columbus, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Montreal. And, of course, over the next couple months, we will monitor the coaching boost too, right? The Oilers, a 7-game win streak. Could easily get to 10 this week, by the way, if you look at that Oilers slate, which we'll talk about, Pete, on the NHL Action Collab coming up, right?
Yeah, we're going to discuss a lot of these different storylines with Nick Martin from Action Network. He finds a lot of hidden value that even impresses the great Michael Leboff. So excited to hear what he has going on through 2+ months into the season.
Anna, you got anything cooking this week in terms of play? What are you looking forward to this week?
Guys, I've been red hot last week. How I will let you know. Okay. I was red hot last week. So if you watch Given Props on the NHL's YouTube channel, I went 6-0 last week, okay?
Ooh,
I know. Kind of impressive. But I'm taking a look at Tuesday's slate. We have like 10 games on deck. A team that I think still is not getting enough credit, even though I pumped their tires night after night, is the Philadelphia Flyers. They're playing the Nashville Predators. Tyson Forrester, looking at him to get some points on the board, maybe even an anytime goal from him, and that's like a matchup that's really sticking out to me. And also the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm not done with this squad just yet. They have an opportunity to turn their losing streak around against the Ottawa Senators, so there's a couple of names that could find the back of the net in that game as well. Seth Jarvis heating up. I'm calling it now.
Just want to add, Tyson Forrester, that's a great rookie to pick up right now, playing top line with Couturier and Konechny. What a better spot than that.
I love it. I love those closed-door meetings. They're so cliche. It really worked for Pittsburgh last week. I know it didn't. But Wednesday, I guess, Pittsburgh in Montreal. They have to win that game. And Tuesday, I'm going to piggyback off what you said. Carolina's in Ottawa. You had this public outcry. We got our closing our doors and our meetings and all this stuff. And the last one, Bobby, I'd bring to the table. Pete's going to love this one. Monday night, Jonathan Tavares, the captain of the New York Islanders, former captain of the New York Islanders, now with the Maple Leafs, 2 points away from 1,000. So maybe he gets it on Monday night on the island.
Yes, I saw that. And he will get it on the island because that's just how it usually works. Carolina is on the naughty list for Bob Bender this Christmas season. Didn't like their performance against Edmonton.
Yes.
Didn't love their performance against Vancouver. They come back to tie it at 3 in the third period. Then they give it up 4-3. They lose. Did not like that little Western Canadian road trip that the Hurricanes were on. And I think they have a little bounce back this week. I know they had the meeting, but I still think Carolina – you know, they have the pieces. They got to start playing a little bit better, and they got to get some saves, and they'll start winning some games, and Bobby will start lining his pocket again.
The Calgary one really, really killed me, man. I just unloaded my whole podcast budget on that game, and that's why I'm doing this show today, because I had nothing.
Put a bow on it!
All right, coming up later this week, Week 10 Mailbag Edition. We got the NHL Action Collab coming up, so don't you dare miss it. Any thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Pete Jensen, and Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.